Questions and Answers. Question. My son thinks I criticize him too much. Is there a difference between being critical and being judgmental? Answer. It's a matter of consciousness. If your son is not taking care of himself or not being serious about his studies, you should be a stickler. It is your responsibility to monitor his well-being, even though he may prefer to play 18 hours a day. Your role is to assist and encourage him, and in order for you to fulfill this role properly, some evaluation is necessary. But even as you try to help your son, you must also respect his individuality and independence. Be careful not to make him an extension of yourself. Talking down to a child, even though your intentions are good, may provoke resistance and resentment. Sometimes, when you share something with him, he may perceive you as critical and dismiss your feedback. Yet, if you see a need, you must be eager to offer yourself no matter how he responds. If he resists or feels attacked, then you can try to fill the same need in a more palatable way. Parents must always be vigilant, and yet not be so overbearing that they psychologically hurt their children. Parents have the responsibility to protect, monitor, teach, and guide. That is all. If you notice that your son is not dressed properly, out of concern for his well-being, you tell him to change his pants. You're not critical, just practical. You may want him to be careful when he rides his bicycle. You are doing your part to guarantee his safety, but you are not attacking him or blaming him. He may not always appreciate your monitoring, but as a concerned parent, you must always be ready to give him your love, support, and guidance. Offering our feedback is part of our responsibility as parents. Indeed, a parent who does not intervene when necessary either does not care or is too afraid of what the child may think. Question. I'm someone who does not trust other people. In my case, it is really a learned behavior based on past experiences. How do I deal with that? Answer. As we discussed earlier, you should not be naive, foolish, or in denial. Instead, you must see things as they are. You may have learned from past experience that someone is a chronic liar or a thief, but you must not allow this to interfere with your present growth and development. Instead, when you are with that person, you should simply be careful not to present any temptations that could be too difficult. You would not give a sharp knife to a little boy. This does not in any way disturb your love, compassion, and concern for him. In fact, it is because of your love that you remove the potential source of harm from his environment. Make an effort to see each person as a part of God. Then, even if someone attacks you, you can look upon the experience as the Lord's arrangement for your growth. Remember, there are no accidents in the universe. Your attacker is really a divine agent of God, one who is temporarily in a state of bewilderment or amnesia, sent to point something out to you. Your loving perception of your would-be adversary can uplift that person's consciousness. The individual may even change completely, apologizing, smiling, and asking for forgiveness. On the other hand, if you meet an attack with a counterattack, communication becomes much more difficult. You both go away disturbed. We are really talking about deeper faith. When you have deep faith in God, you start noticing that God appears in your life in many different forms and circumstances. Your job is to be ready to love and experience God in whatever way He presents Himself. He's trying to increase your awareness by making you more sensitive to your own impurities as you perceive the problems of others. In other words, the Lord is showing you what to work on in yourself by creating situations that expose your shortcomings. What is the price of a life of fear and mistrust? You pay dearly in terms of your own love, compassion, and concern. You shut the doors and windows tight, keeping harm away, but allow nothing positive to enter either. Although you should not be a fool, we would encourage you to open yourself up to higher levels of experience and love. Question. Given what you have said about judgment, how are we supposed to interpret the biblical passage, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? Answer: if judgment and rules were not necessary, then God would not have given us so many laws to the prophets. Such teachings tell us, for example, that adultery, fornication, blasphemy, and murder are sinful. Evaluation is necessary to help us recognize these and other sins, but we must judge with love and humility. The biblical passage you quoted is a way of reminding us not to concentrate on the faults of others when we are so sinful ourselves. If we criticize the shortcomings in others to avoid our own failings, we are not motivated by love. We are simply trying to hurt others in order to feel better about ourselves. Judgment is present throughout the Bible. Much of the Old Testament addresses the deviations of the children of Israel and the various attempts to set them straight. In the New Testament, too, filled with teachings of love and compassion, Jesus still throws the money changers out of the temple, judging them fiercely. He offers parables, exhortations, and instructions to help people live more in accordance with God's laws. So the Bible and all great religious scriptures show us that evaluation, if motivated by love, is healthy and necessary.